Hey guys, it's Albert. I'm rolling solo this week. It's sort of a matter of circumstance, but we're going to make it work. My guy Brandon's got us covered. We're going to go live on Periscope. We're going to do the podcast a little bit differently this week, and we're still going to answer all your questions. Let's go. All right, welcome in. It's the MMQB podcast with Albert Breer. Jenny's on assignment. Connor's sick. I'm rolling solo today, so we're going to try something new for all of you guys. We are live on Periscope right now. I want to open up camp by giving you guys an open forum to talk to me about what's going on with your favorite team. So I'm going to start off the top by hitting five news topics like we always do. I got my producer, Brandon, alongside. And then after that, I'll answer all of your questions rapid fire. We're going to go for about 30 minutes. So if you've got questions, hang tight. I will get to them. News topic number one for the week. I don't think there's any question what the biggest news topic over the last week has been, and that is the handling of the Tyreek Hill situation, where the Tyreek Hill situation is right now. He has not been suspended by the NFL, and on Monday, news broke that Seahawks defensive lineman Jerron Reed will serve a six-game suspension for domestic violence. So you want to line those two up, and you want to put them next to the Ezekiel Elliott suspension. What's the biggest difference? What separates the three? Well, what separates the three, if you really want to look at it, is victim cooperation. In the Jerron Reed case, the victim cooperated. In the Ezekiel Elliott case, the victim cooperated. In the Tyreek Hill case, neither his fiance nor, of course, his three-year-old child was able to help the investigators. And so the NFL was left kind of without subpoena power, of course, and without the ability to push the investigation to the next level. And I think this illustrates perfectly the problem with the NFL investigating these things, why the NFL right now, a lot of owners in the NFL would like to get out of the investigation business. And I'm talking about heavy hitters, guys like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft want the league to get out of the investigation business. Think about the effect of this, okay? Think about the effect of the fact that victim cooperation is driving the final outcome of these cases. Again, Hill, the victim, didn't cooperate. Reed, the victim, did. Elliott, the victim, did. What's the unintended consequence here? The unintended consequence right here is that you probably have victim coercion in the future. You may have people being paid off. You're going to have a lot of things you don't want. And that's because the NFL has decided to take the lead on these sorts of cases. And look, I think the punishment is just. I think giving guys a six-game suspension when you find that they're guilty of domestic violence, take them off the field. Absolutely, 100%. But when things like this are driving what the final outcome is, I'm not sure that's where anybody wants to be. And so I think the NFL should have farmed these investigations out a long time ago. And I think at the very least, they need to lean a little bit more on law enforcement. Remember how they got here in the first place. They used to lean on law enforcement in cases like this. Then Ray Rice happened. Then Adrian Peterson happened. Then Greg Hardy happened. And because they messed those things up so monumentally, they did what they always do, which is they throw money at the problem, they hire staff, and it still feels like a lot of these cases are being governed by public relations and public reaction. And that's probably why the Jerron Reed case stayed open for 2 years. Because people weren't really paying attention to it. The Tyreek Hill case was closed so quickly because the league didn't want us talking about it on day one of training camp, which we are now, or in week one of the season, which, by the way, not a coincidence, I don't think. The Chiefs, you know where they're playing, Brandon, in week one? In Jacksonville at 1 p.m.
Ooh, that should be a fun game.
In Jacksonville at 1 p.m. So I don't think that's a mistake either. I don't think it's a mistake that you're putting them in the small market on the first Sunday of the year. One of the most TV-friendly teams in the league, right? So that's my take on the Tyreek Hill situation. Number two, we're going to have holdouts, and this is sort of something that's happened in the NFL more recently. You know, I think starting with Cam Chancellor a few years ago, we've seen Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack push it and wind up being rewarded as a result of their holdouts. This year, the two big names that I think you're going to hear that we've already heard are Zeke Elliott and Melvin Gordon. I'm going to tell you why those guys aren't created equal. Here's the thing about the running back position. There is a very small elite class, a much smaller elite class at that position than at most other positions. And then there's a much larger second tier. And That helps the top guys get paid. It hurts the second tier guys. The new model for the running back, 230 pounds, can play on all three downs. That's what Zeke Elliott is. That's what Saquon Barkley is. That's what Todd Gurley was, and maybe he will be again. That's what Le'Veon Bell was, and maybe he will be again. They're very rare, though. And why are those guys so valuable? Because it takes three guys to replace them. You need probably two guys to platoon on first and second down, and then a third down guy. You have one guy who can do all of that. And because it's the same guy on the field the whole time, you're not giving any tells to the defense what you're going to do. And so those guys are incredibly valuable. And Zeke Elliott is such a big part of Dak Prescott, of what Dak Prescott has become, of the success that Dak Prescott has had early in his career. And so to me, the Cowboys have to pay Zeke Elliott. Now, Melvin Gordon, really good player. Melvin Gordon's got the same problem a lot of running backs have, which is there are too many good running backs, right? It's not that Melvin Gordon's not a really good player. It's that there are too many good ones. And I think the perfect example is the 2017 draft, right? Brendan, the Panthers didn't make a mistake taking Christian McCaffrey 8th overall, right?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Really good player, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but the same draft, the Saints got Alvin Kamara in the 3rd round. The Chiefs got Kareem Hunt in the 3rd round. And so, like, you don't argue that Christian McCaffrey was a good pick. It's just too easy to find guys like that. Like, and he's a really, really good player. So I think it's, unless it's one of these unicorn types, which is like a combination of a third down back and a guy who's big enough to be a bruiser on first and second down, like a Saquon or a Zeke, like you're sort of out of luck because it's just too easy to find them.
Yeah, you can go deep, 4th round, 5th round.
Yep, and you can find your but you got your unicorns there at the top. So that's news topic number two. Number three, Odell Beckham's comments in GQ. I'm going to make this one quick. I always want players to tell the truth, right? I always want players to tell the truth. The one thing that bugs me a little bit about where Odell is at on this is I think there are some people in the Giants organization who gave him a lot of breaks, and they defended him. And I'm going back to Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo, and more recently, I think Pat Shurmur did all that he could to try to build a strong relationship with Odell. And Dave Gettleman, like continually stuck up for him. I'm not saying that means they're immune to criticism, but he crushed those guys. And the other thing is it's just you're absolving yourself of blame. And that's the thing. Like I just wish he would take a little more personal responsibility. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but like you were the one who went and talked to Lil Wayne last year and caused that thing to flare up. And 2 years ago, like part of that whole thing coming undone was you going off the reservation a little bit. And that sort of led to a free-for-all in that locker room. And Ben McAdoo and that coaching staff deserve a ton of blame for that too, because they couldn't reel it back in. But when the best player on the team like pushes it and can get away with X, Y, and Z, that sort of leads to some other issues. So I think that there's some personal responsibility that Odell Beckham isn't taking here. And I hope maybe quietly he, because this is a chance for him to grow and move into the second phase of his career and maybe be the sort of guy that the Browns can build around. Be the sort of guy that the Browns can build around, not just a player, but as a person, like who will push everybody else in the locker room, who will set the bar for everybody else. So that's where I'm at on that. Question number four, or a topic number four, Julio Jones's deal is still not done. I have to think this is going to get done for... It's sort of the flip of what I was talking about with Odell. This guy has set such a high standard, has done everything the right way. He's the kind of guy who, and look, they paid Grady Jarrett and they paid Deion Jones, and those are two promising young players, and I'm sure they were excited to have those guys done. But Julio Jones is the guy who, if you're not paying him, who are you paying? Does everything right. Team guy. Clutch, that catch in the Super Bowl, that should have won the Super Bowl for the Atlanta Falcons. Should have been Super Bowl 51 champions. And that catch is what the Edelman catch became, right? Like the Edelman catch became the iconic moment of that Super Bowl. If the Falcons just handle their business at the end of that game, right, and not get knocked out of field goal range, that Julio catch is that moment. And so I think Julio. To me, the Falcons are in. I talked to DQ. I talked to Dan Quinn about it. on Sunday. They're in such a great spot right now because they're as good as they've been offensively. They've got good coaching infrastructure on that side of the ball, and they've got all these really good young defensive players. Keanu Neal, Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett, all these guys are coming of age now. The timing just seems right. And so I think getting Julio done would be a little bit like, and the circumstances are different, when the Jets got Darrelle Revis done in 2010, and that propelled them to the AFC title game. Now, long term, that didn't work out, but I think that that was sort of, that pushed them into the season, and they wound up being a very, very good team. Finally, number five, news topic number five, just because we're going to have some fun and close the summer this way. All the fake outrage over Tom Brady cliff diving. I don't know. I mean, I personally look at it, and my kids are hooked on their iPads, right? Like, I can't get them to put down their iPhones. So, if I that's awesome that he's outside with his kids, like, engaged and locked in and playing with them. And, if you're not the one to take your kid to kill your kid's fear of, like the jumping off, like, who else is going to do it for him? So, I'm with Tom Brady on that. I love what Tom Brady did. Fantastic. I think good show of parenting, what it should be in 2019. Get outside, enjoy something. Obviously, he's got the means to do it at a level that I think maybe none of us, any of you out there listening, me, will ever have. But to be able to go cliff diving in Costa Rica, most of all, when I watched that, I was just sort of jealous.
And I'm pretty sure he feels very young at his age.
Yes, yes.
So why not?
Found the fountain of youth. Okay, I'm gonna turn it over to you guys now. All your questions. This is in lieu of the six pack this week. Again, any feedback that you guys have too on the podcast, what we can do better. As I always say at the end of the podcast, you can get to me on my Twitter page @AlbertBreer. Get to me on my Instagram @Albert_Breer. My Facebook @AlbertRBreer. We want to make the podcast, the Periscope, is better. That's why we're bringing them together this week. Maybe we build some awareness for it. You guys shoot with all of your camp questions. We'll go for about 10, 15 minutes. Yeah, so. And I'll do the countdown when we get 10 left. Which Bills running back gets cut? That's a good question. The Bills have stocked up at the running back position. I think that there's a possibility that down the line you see Frank Gore or Shady McCoy shopped a little bit. Shady McCoy would make a little more sense, with Montgomery and Yeldon in-house. It would make a little more sense because he's making more money. You got a thought on that?
I have a question about Frank Gore. Is this his last season?
I would have said that the last 3 years in a row, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut on it.
Okay.
15 years as a running back. That's crazy.
He should get a plaque just for being in the league for 15 years.
I thought about this the other day. Frank Gore was in his fifth year when Shady was a rookie. I mean, that's staggering. Unbelievable. Okay, your questions. Let's go. Rapid fire now. Eagles look good on paper. What do you think of their upcoming season? I think they're in really good shape. The offensive line, I think, has to stay healthy. But it's great that they were able to get Andre Dillard to be the successor eventually for Jason Peters. I think they're as deep and as complete a team as there is in the NFL. Will David Montgomery get 300-plus touches in year one? I don't think so because of that depth of that position. You're looking at the Ravens' upcoming season. So much is going to depend on the defensive leaders. You have to replace C.J. Mosley, Terrell Suggs, and Eric Weddle. It's a lot to ask. Any hesitation with Travis Frederick going into camp? Yeah, sure. I mean, keeping weight on is going to be an issue. How does he feel? Reconditioning yourself after losing a year is tough. Will the draft and free agency offensive line for the Vikings be enough to send them to the playoffs? That'll determine how far they go. I think Pat Elflein coming back off the mat is going to be an important piece of it. Garrett Bradbury, of course, his assimilation to the NFL as a center, very, very important to where they go. Bradbury is, of all the guys that I make calls on and everything else during the draft, Bradbury was one of the ones that was most unanimous. Like, this guy's going to be a really good player. What should the Cowboys do with Ezekiel Elliott? I think they should pay him. Bosa's signing soon. I think all bets are off there. I would keep an eye on some of the things that you watched last year, too, in the Roquan Smith negotiation, where some of that came down to the default language as relates to guarantees. Bosa and Debo signed before Friday. Not necessarily. We'll see. All right, what do you guys got? Everyone assumes the Chiefs out of the West. How do the Chargers win that division? I think the Chargers win that division if Phil Rivers is still who he has been over the course of the years, and some of the young defensive players take the steps that you would expect them to take. Joey Bosa, does he stay healthy? Does Derwin James take the next step? Those are sort of the things. Does Brittany Bowen get the Broncos ownership spot? Eventually she does. She's coming back to the team later this year. I would think within a couple of years she will be the principal owner of the Denver Broncos. Josh Gordon in 2019, unpredictable. Thoughts on the Jets offense? It feels like they've got a lot of complementary weapons and nobody who's really, Robbie Anderson can scare you a little bit. I know he's impressed Joe Douglas and Adam Gase early on. Quincy Enunwa is a nice complement to him. Chris Herndon, when he comes back from the suspension, I think is going to be a factor. Le'Veon is, if he's right, like a top five back. It feels to me like they've got a lot of guys who are sort of complementary weapons in the passing game. I'm not sure that they have the number one guy, which will be an interesting dynamic because I think that's sort of the way that Adam Gase – I don't think Adam Gase minds having it that way because I think he wants his quarterback to play point guard. What about Bell? Well, Bell would be the focal point, but not in the passing game. 75-catch guy at one point with the Steelers, though. Miami two games versus Belichick. I think Miami probably goes 0-2 against Belichick, although they have a way of coming up and biting the Patriots. Chiefs defense improved. One of the biggest storylines that no one's talking about this year, of course, because of Tyreek Hill. But that Chiefs defense, they add Frank Clark. They add Tyrann Mathieu. They bring in Steve Spagnuolo, gone Bob Sutton, gone Dee Ford, gone Justin Houston. It's going to be an interesting year. More change on that side of the on one side of the ball than I think we've seen from a contender in a long, long time. What do you think about Lamar Jackson? He has a lot of doubters. I think Lamar Jackson is at the point where a lot of young quarterbacks have been coming out of year one or year two, which is, you guys remember the Robert Griffin situation. You guys remember Tim Tebow, Colin Kaepernick. I think what happens with a lot of these young quarterbacks that come out of those spread offenses in college, they get to the pros. The team is, their coaches are able to sort of build an offense that works for them. And there comes a point where the league catches up with what the team is trying to do. And that's when the quarterback has to learn to counterpunch. And so we're still going to have to see that growth from Lamar Jackson. Good signs in year one, but as a passer, he still has a long way to go. What quarterbacks hit the block after training camp? I mean, potentially, I guess Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick, like names like that. No starters, I don't think. Are you guys looking for me to say Eli Manning or something? Anybody got more questions? We going to go? Because there are still over 200 of you here. What do you guys got? I'm going to scroll for old comments. Is that the way the Periscope works now? Okay, well, what do we have? All right. I think we're still going here. Redskins prediction. I think the Redskins still have a lot of talent in the roster. Oh, here we go. Okay, we're going to go to the... all right, how do you feel about the Washington Redskins? I still think they've got some talent in the roster. I think Jay Gruden's an underrated head coach. But a lot's going to depend on the quarterback situation. Dwayne Haskins is a Case Keenum. We'll see. Dalvin Cook, how healthy for 16. Obviously, that's always an open question. He's had his health issues, but he should be all the way back from the ACL. Now, Baker in year two, you look at like the pieces around him, it sort of sets up like Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes did year two. So you want to say that that's there for him. So much of that's going to depend on their offensive line. One of the most important players in football that no one's talking about, just the way people aren't talking about the Chiefs defense, Greg Robinson, the left tackle of the Browns. Melvin Gordon prediction. I think he sits out for a while. I don't think the team moves on its position much. Biggest surprise team this year. Let's say the Niners. Confidence in the Seahawks rebuild on the fly model. I think they've done a really nice job. It's a very well-coached team. Losing Jaron Reed is a tough one for them. Is Cleveland the Eagles 2011 Dream Team 2.0? No, because I think they're a little more stable with their young talent. Like having Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett and Jarvis Landry, they're a little more stable there. Chris Jones and Chiefs, will they try to get a new contract? Yes, they will. The Chiefs are one of these teams that are in a situation with two high-profile free agents coming up. There are a bunch of them where if you don't get one done, you're going to have a real problem in 2019 because you only can tag one of them. And so it's the Chargers with Gordon and Rivers. It's the Chiefs with Jones and Tyreek Hill. It's the Cowboys with Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott. Who will win Defensive Player of the Year? I think Aaron Donald will be the leader in the clubhouse. The dark horse I would look at would be Joey Bosa if he can stay healthy. Chances the Packers implode and LaFleur is a one-year coach. I don't think that's going to happen just because I think that they recognize there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve for LaFleur. He's only been a play caller for 1 year. Can you explain the Hill decision? I think it's simple. The victim didn't cooperate. They weren't able to get the information. Offensive player of the year. God, like I'm going to sound like a homer for Buckeyes if I say Joey Bosa off defensive and Zeke Elliott offensive, right? Let's go with Julio Jones, offensive player of the year. How about that? Does KC move on from Tyreek Hill in 2020? I don't think so. Can Dak win MVP? I don't think so. Where's the Brady contract? I think it'll come before the season. I'm not sensing a lot of concern. Brady doesn't have to do anything. His tag number is over $32 million for 2020. He can sit there and wind up among the top five paid players at his position. Saints prediction, I think the Saints will be very, very good again, so long as Drew Brees is who he's been. That's a team that has a lot of guys in year two, year three, year four that should continue to ascend. How many games does Eli start this year? Over under, I bring Brandon in. What's the over under on Eli starts?
I will say five.
Wow, that's low. He said five. I'm going to give you 10. I think ownership sticks with him. I don't think they contend. And I think eventually they turn it over to Daniel Jones because they need to see what they have for 2020. That fair?
That's fair. We can meet somewhere in the middle. 7.5.
There you go. 7.5. The official MMQB over under for Eli Manning starts in 2019. Lakers win it all this year. I'm not a basketball guy, but I'm going with the Clippers. Any word on Eric Berry and Michael Crabtree? Not yet. I think they're probably guys who are gonna wait for an injury. If they've waited this long, I think it makes sense to wait for a team to get a little desperate. Raiders make the playoffs this year. I think Derek Carr is in a better spot than a lot of people give him credit for. The last 10 games of last year, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, played really well. I think started to grasp Gruden's system. Gruden got comfortable with him as a play caller. And now he didn't have Antonio Brown last year. He didn't have Tyrell Williams last year. He's got some new weapons, loses Jared Cook. I think the Raiders are in decent shape, actually, going in. All right, so it's 12:45 right now. We'll do 10 more questions. Is that fair, Brandon?
Yeah, I actually have a question for you.
All right, so Brandon, my producer, I don't know if Periscope can hear you, so I'll repeat the question, but go ahead.
What are Andrew Luck's chances of winning the MVP this year?
Okay, so his question, what are Andrew Luck's chances of winning the MVP this year? Colts fans, listen up, all right? I think they're very good, and here's the reason why. One thing that an MVP needs... Most MVPs, a lot of things go right around them, right? It's normally the quarterback, and for the quarterback to play at that level, the quarterback needs good talent around him. He needs good health around him. A lot of things have to go right, right? And so look at Andrew Luck. The offensive line came together last year, right? So now you look at the receiver group. They bring in Devin Funchess from Carolina. They have T.Y. Hilton. Deion Kane, a sixth-round pick, two drafts ago, tore his ACL last year. He's coming back. They think a lot of him. Marlon Mack, Jordan Wilkins, Nyheim Hines in the backfield, and a defense that's going to get him the ball a lot. So Andrew Luck's a good name there. Andrew Luck's is absolutely a good name there. One I think you should keep an eye on in the MVP race. So good call, Brandon. All right, I'll take 10 questions now. We'll go 10, count them down 10 to 1, and that'll be it for the podcast this week. Todd Gurley knee, I think it's certainly a concern. There's no question about that. And we knew that from day one. When he came into the league, he had the arthritic condition. Teams knew it. With any player that's got that condition, it's not how you're going to play on day one. It's how you're going to play in year four, how you're going to play in year eight. It puts a clock on how long you can last. And it's troubling that he's had that issue at the end of last year. And so I think part of it was a confidence issue last year. We'll see if they can get him by that. I think they're certainly going to manage him. It'll be interesting to watch. Question number two, who will the Vikings get for the third receiver spot, Beebe or Treadwell? I still think Treadwell has been such a disappointment there. I still go with him because it's just, I think you've invested more. I don't know. Question number three, Goff up or down this year? I just believe in the coaching infrastructure in LA. I believe in the receiver group, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, coming back off the injury, Cooper Kupp. Even having Henderson in case Gurley gets hurt, I think really helps. You got Higbee, you got Everett at tight end. I think I'll point the arrow up on Jared Goff. Question number four, Bears, can they win the Super Bowl? The Bears can win the Super Bowl if Mitch Trubisky takes a step. I think it's hard to expect their defense to be the exact same level they were last year. They lose Vic Fangio. They lose Bryce Callahan. I think they're going to take at least a little step back just because they were at such a high level last year. What can make up for that? Well, Mitch Trubisky, he's got to take a step forward. If Mitch Trubisky takes a step forward in year three, then I think you're talking about a legitimate Super Bowl contender because that roster has talent. Question number five, I think we're on five, right? How many touchdowns will Mahomes throw this year? How big of a step back do you think he will take? I'm going to say something interesting here. I don't think he takes a step back. I think there's, was it 50 last year? 5-0? 5-0.
Yeah.
5-0 last year. I think he can do better than that, which is, it sounds crazy. And I probably wouldn't have said it before we got the Tyreek news. But they had Mecole Hardman, who they drafted out of Georgia. Sammy Watkins had a really strong spring. Hill's back. You got Travis Kelce at tight end. You got to replace the center. That's a factor. You've got one of the best offensive minds in football. Again, these things come down to what's the situation around the quarterback. When you get Hill back, that's a, hey, I think you got a good situation.
So what are we looking at, 55?
Let's say, I don't want to go crazy because that would be the record, wouldn't it? I think the record, is it Manning's record is 55, I think, right?
I can't remember.
So let's go with 52. 52. I don't want to be on here predicting a record-breaking season, but 52. 52 is fair, okay? All right. Five more questions. Five down, five to go. What do you guys got? Predictions for Mitch Trubisky. I think I already got to that, so I won't count that as a question. I think he's going to take a small step forward. Matt Nagy is the right coach for him. I think Matt Nagy is going to get more out of him. When I talked to Matt Nagy about it last year, he emphasized to me it was like 2.5 years before he and Alex Smith learned each other, to the point where the offense was really built for Alex Smith. So I think he's got the right coach. I think he's in a good environment. They're not asking the world of him. I think he takes a small step forward. I don't think he's going to be top five, but I think we'll probably be talking about him maybe like a top half of the league quarterback, like somewhere around 14, 15, 16 at the end of the year, just because, again, he's one of these guys who's in a good situation. We're going to redo question six because two Bears questions. Garrett, Super Bowl or gone? No. I think Garrett has got to show progress from last year. I think he has to show that the program is in the right place. And I think a lot of Jason Garrett's job security right now is tied to Kellen Moore, the new offensive coordinator there. They really rolled the dice in promoting Kellen Moore. He obviously doesn't have a ton of coaching experience. He did play in the league. And I think what the Cowboys want, what Jerry wants, what I think Stephen Jones wants, they want to be a part of this offensive revolution. I think they're one of the teams that watched that Chiefs-Rams game in November and said, I want that. And so I think they want to be seen as innovators. And so a lot of it's going to come down to, I think, how it looks. Obviously, they have to make the playoffs if Garrett's going to get a new contract. I think a lot of it comes down to how it looks, too. Like, if it looks like Dak Prescott's taking a step forward, then, you know, I think there's a good chance Garrett keeps his job. Question number seven, Earl Thomas, comeback player of the year. I really like the way that he would look in Baltimore. I thought about that fit, and like they'll be able to do some different things. He's such a smart player. And what they were able to do for Eric Weddle, I think that this is sort of that on steroids. I if he can stay healthy, and that's a big if because he's a smaller guy for a safety. They're asking him to throw his body around. That obviously, you know, puts a lot of things in play. But I think that there's a good chance. I don't know if I'd call him comeback player of the year because normally you have to come off of something just catastrophic. And I don't know if he'd be in that category, but I think he'll have a really good year. Question number eight, does Bruce Arians save Winston? Possible. Because I just think that Bruce Arians' fit in Tampa with Jameis Winston is similar to his fit with Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, where you had a quarterback who liked to gamble, where you had a quarterback who's a bigger player. We have a quarterback who, you know, is good at getting the ball downfield, and you got weapons like Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and O.J. Howard. You have an opportunity to push the ball downfield. I think Jameis Winston has a shot. He's got to clean up the interception thing, but I think he's got a shot under Bruce Arians. At the very least, I think Tampa gets answers here. Question number nine, Steelers win the division. Yes, the Steelers win the AFC North. I think we are overrating the issues the Steelers have right now. And the reason why, they didn't have Le'Veon Bell last year. So it's not like they're dealing with the loss of Le'Veon Bell. They already dealt with the loss of Le'Veon Bell. They're a year into that. And they lose Antonio Brown. That's tough. No question. Best receiver in the league. Who's been better at finding receivers than the Pittsburgh Steelers? Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, Mike Wallace, Martavius Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, who has been better at finding receivers than the Pittsburgh Steelers? And none of those guys were first-rounders. Keep an eye on Deontay Johnson, a rookie out of Toledo. Question number 10. Chris Jones gets an extension this year. All right, so I would say that the Chiefs have to, and I'm going to do one more question after this because I already answered this question, I think, to some degree. I think the Chiefs have to do Chris Jones's extension because they got to give themselves the flexibility to put the franchise tag on Tyreek Hill. The 10th question will be Sam Darnold, big leap year in year two. I'm a Sam Darnold believer. I think Adam Gase, for some of his faults, is a very good quarterback's coach. I see them being a competitive team, and I think Sam Darnold has, let's say, a 28 touchdown, 14 interception year, which I think that would signal a good step forward for him. Not going to be in the MVP conversation. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs, but I think that would signal a good step forward for him. And the benefit of playing for a quarterback's guy in Adam Gase. Appreciate you guys coming out. Again, this was something new. We just decided to do it on the fly. Shout out to my producer, Brandon. Fantastic work as always.
Thank you.
All right. And we do this every week. So if you guys are watching on Periscope, please subscribe to all the MMQB NFL podcasts. This one, if you subscribe to the feed, you also get Gary and Andy's podcast, which comes out on Monday mornings. You also get the Bad Movies podcast, which Connor's done a fantastic job with. We're going to be on the road over the next few weeks, so I'm not sure exactly how we're going to work the podcast, but I'll keep you guys updated on that on social media. And I want your feedback on how this went too, on the Periscope, on the question and answer thing, on how we did this. If you maybe want us to Periscope our podcast on a more regular basis, we're open to anything. It's a new season. We want your suggestions. We want your feedback. We want to make this your podcast. And you can always remember that you can get our podcast on Google, Spotify, or wait, is it Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts. I'm a little rusty, Brandon.
You got it.
I'm a little rusty.
You good. You good.
Wherever you get your shows, you can get our shows. And again, not just this show, not just the MMQB podcast with Albert Breer, Connor, or Jenny Brentes. You can also go on that feed, get Andy and Gary's podcast and the Bad Movies podcast. Same time next week, one way or another, we'll be there. See you guys then.